1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, so he didn't have a drummer.
Doesn't sound right to me, man, because, first of all, I'm not really into music that much, but I'm not sure how you do that.
Well, by the way, hi, guys. Welcome back to the show. I'm talking with Chris Norton. You had some news for us, Chris, that I'm going to get to in a minute, but I was just telling Chris about an artist by the name of John Mayall. Some of you have heard of him. Some of you have not. He's kind of, you know, one of these old, you know, I'm an old man. It's old man music. But he didn't have a drummer for a while.
Why not? I mean, that's, how do you,
what are you, short-circuiting on that information? He didn't have a drummer.
How do you do it? I mean,
he just got rid of his drummer. So what he did was, there's a famous album called Turning Point, and it's a live album from the Fillmore West where it was him and a sax player and a guitar player and a bass player, and that's how he did it.
I don't really care, man. I don't even listen to music. I don't know, but I came on to tell you some information, Sherry, because I don't know if you've seen the latest issue of Star Magazine, but there's...
No, I don't read that, man.
Well, okay, you don't read it, but there's some very significant information about Barbra Streisand. I'm trying to, include in my weekly reports to you information about women that are potential, monstrosities, and... So do I start now?
Yeah, okay, go ahead. Let me introduce you.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome now to our weekly segment, Chris Norton's Monstrosities.
Hello, everybody. I'm Chris Norton. I'm a 20-year-old telemarketer, but I also am a adult film producer. I have the largest collection of adult films on the West Coast. And I am also, I've been told by a lot of women that I'm sort of very good-looking. I have had sex with a lot of women, but not because... I don't respect women, but my sex and my sexuality strongly attracts women. This week on Chris Norton's Monstrosities, Barbra Streisand apparently has climbed all over a lot of guys. There's an article this week in the Star magazine. I suggest you get it. Check this out. This is some pretty gnarly information. I suggest if you're eating, you might want to put your food down because this is very, very gnarly. It's also fairly hot, but if you've seen Barbra Streisand, we all know the air is free, but I mean, come on, that nose is...
All right, are you going to stop with the jokes and just get to it, okay?
Well, all right.
The air is free. Man, I haven't heard that one in so long.
Well, I mean, she's got a schnoz on her that's bigger than what Warren Beatty's got dangling. So anyway,
I don't need that info. Just get to your freaking Chris Norton's monstrosities. What kind of a name for a segment?
Well, it's about women that are that man eat.
Got it.
All right. This week on Chris Norton's Monstrosities, Barbra Streisand apparently climbed all over Peter Weller, perched up on Prince Charles. Are you ready for that, Mr. Henry? Mr. Henry, are you ready?
Who?
Prince Charles.
Where?
Apparently, she mounted Charles, and I swear to God, Mr. Henry, this is true, because one of the maids, what works there, said that she grabbed his ears. I know you think I'm joking. She grabbed his ears and was all just like, yeah, 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 yeah. I mean, so...
She grabbed his ears. You know something, man? You're full of crap. I'm hanging up.
No, I swear to God.
Who? Who told you that?
A maid at the Beverly Hills Hotel.
Grabbed his ears.
Yes. Yeah. Have you ever had like a chick grab your cowboy boots?
And I'm not going to comment on that.
Well, same thing.
Go ahead. What? My cowboy boots.
Well, you told me one time that
I'm not. Just do your freaking monstrosity report.
Okay. Anyway, Barbra Streisand apparently climbed all over Elliot Goon.
Who?
Elliot Goon.
Elliot Gould.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. This is really fascinating. Apparently, she just sweated on Andre Agassi. It's pretty well known that Barbra Streisand just left her stank all over John Peters. Don Johnson,
Slow down.
Okay. apparently, he parked it.
He parked it. Is there any way that?
I'm just trying to tell you who she climbed on.
Okay.
She climbed on Steve McQueen. Apparently, he died
Can we use some kind of a term other than what you're saying?
Well, I mean,
just say Peter Jennings and her had an intimate relations.
Oh, okay. Hey, man, welcome to Chris Norton's Monstrosities. Barbara Streisand and Peter Jennings had intimate relations, which included teabagging. And then also...
Okay.
Also, she left her stank on Kris Kristofferson, Dodie Al-Fayed, Ryan O'Neal still is having to get out the Zytocaine for some of the open lesions. Warren Beatty, John Voight, apparently... What do you think about maybe the love child of John Voight and Barbara Streisand is Bridget Fonda? What do you think about that, Mr. Henry?
Who?
Bridget Fonda.
Bridget Fonda is a Fonda. Are you talking about, what's her name, that Angelina Jolie?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's another thing. Angelina Jolie mounted Richard Gere, and then Barbara Streisand parked up on it. And the other thing that I heard, and this is pretty rude, Peter Weller, RoboCop, apparently she parked it on him and then barked at the moon. And then
all right, thanks a lot, man. We're all done.
Yeah, but I have a couple of more.
Thanks a lot, man. We're all done.
What an ass, man. Jeez, that's too bad.
Yeah, that's too bad, man. Go ahead, lock it out.
It's been Chris Norton's Monstrosities.
By the way, can I ask you something?
Sure.
Is the monstrosity Barbara Streisand?
Yeah. Can I ask you something? Is the monstrosity? Yeah, I mean, look what she done.
Yeah, look what she done. All right, thanks a lot, man.
This is Chris Norton. Hollywood's my beat.
Barbara Streisand left her stank on John Peters. Everybody knows that when she married to him, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Apparently, according to Chris, she's a monstrosity because she got around. Well, good for you, babe. 1-800-449-8686, world-famous Phil Henry Show. When we come back, we're going to have our flashback by request. They'll give you a little teacher's ratings update. Teachers coming on NBC tonight, a special repeat performance tonight at 9:30, baby. As we try, as we just dig our nails in and try to get this baby into another season. Will it happen? Can we just grind it out? One more order, baby. Can we do it? We'll see. Also, I'm going to tell you a little bit about a special radio appearance I'll be making next week. And that's all ahead here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back, 1-800-449-8686.
I'm not going to talk about it right now. I'll talk about it in a minute, okay?
I'm telling you, if you're doing the Corolla Show, they should send you a car.
Well, thank you very much for blowing the news that I was going to tell my audience. Hang up on her. Don't worry about it, Adam. Thank you for inviting me on your show. I'd be happy to drive down there at 7 o'clock in the morning. All right. I would, even though it's probably going to be rush hour and it'll be a nightmare going down the 405. I'm good with that. Mark's going to meet me there because he only lives 2 blocks from the place. Thanks a lot, Mark. All right. 1-800-449-8686. Time now for our flashback by request. This is from Dario. He says, hey, Phil, I have a flashback request. It's RC wanting to go to the donkey show down in Mexico. Please, please, please. Dario. RC felt that it was traditional for all men in the military to see the donkey show in Tijuana, the legendary TJ Donkey Show. Lloyd, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with RC Collins.
Yes, sir. Hello?
Go ahead, sir.
Is this the program?
Yes, sir.
Yes. I'm calling to address the young man who is...
Why'd you spit it out?
Let me tell you what I'd spit out. I'd chew you up and spit you out.
Well, I'm just saying, why don't you say what you...
Let this gentleman, you're a Navy veteran, right, Lloyd?
Yes, sir, I am a United States Naval veteran, and I went to boot camp in San Diego, California. I went to the Naval Training Center. My squadron was based out of San Diego, and I went from there directly to Korea in 1951. And this kid, boy, what I wouldn't give.
Yeah, wouldn't give to do what? Something sexual?
You know what? That's just like you to say something like that. You got donkey shows on your mind, and you're probably, that's all you're thinking about is a donkey.
All right, hold on for a minute. Let me get Jim on the... Jim, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead, sir. You're on the air.
Yes, I'm calling in regards to this young man who thinks that it's a military tradition to see a donkey show.
That's United... my understanding, sir, based upon Marines I've talked to in the California portions.
Well, I've known many military men I was in the military myself. I had relatives in the military, and I've heard about the donkey show, and I do know that the military I do know the military in these days and past days uphold the highest standards for the military men and women of this country. They are not into bestiality. They are not into degradation of women. But as a young man, when you do turn 18, if you take it on your own to go down to TJ and see a donkey show, keep in mind that when you go down there with that type of an attitude as a representative of our military and of this country, that they may, in fact, put you on stage and have you engage in sex with that donkey that you are so interested in.
Well, just because that happened to you. You know, this young man has no respect at all for the traditions of the military. And what are both you guys saying, you were in the donkey act?
No, they're not saying that.
I do hear the giggle from this 13-year-old who's trying to pass himself off as a 17-year-old. And he does have a long way to go
what
to
military?
Grow up.
If
and
you,
quite frankly, I have a problem thinking that he would even pass the psychological examination that they would put him through.
You went to Tijuana to see the donkey show. Why don't you back me up instead of pretending like you're all outraged? Listen, you listen to me.
I'm not outraged. It's a fact
of life. And you listen to me, and you listen good, young man. Yes, we did go to the donkey show. And you know something? It wasn't something that we blathered all over creation. Now you come on the show, and you tell everybody and their half-brother, oh, in your little squeaky girl voice, you calling me queer? Well, you know what? If the shoe fits, and I could tell...
Gentlemen, okay, let's talk about what Jim just said. It's a degrading thing.
The thing I'm trying to tell you is you don't get on a radio broadcast programming and say, hi, I went to the donkey show. What a miserable piece of... Yeah, you're upset because they probably put you on stage, you and Jim, wearing bonnets. Are you listening to this, kid? Man, you know something? In a second, I'll come through the phone, and I will do things to you that you only dream about. Yeah, I bet you did. Can I get some backup from the other military? What's the other military?
Yeah, this is Jim. I would like to say to this
how'd the stirrups fit?
There, that if he quit choking his chicken, that he wouldn't be squeaking so much.
Yeah, you ought to know they put you in stirrups and a bonnet. You know something, kid? We both served our country. You're at the military academy doing the bidding of the commandant on a Saturday night. Ooh, that's got to hurt.
That's solid. Good request. Oh, my God. RC giving crap to Lloyd, some other veteran, all about the donkey show and TJ. They'd put you on stage in bonnets. Oh, Lord, Lord, Lord. Well, there it is. That is by request. And if you have a flashback request, some bit we did on the show in days, months, years past, and I mean years, just send us that request at phs@philhenryshow.com, phs@philhenryshow.com, and we will try to get your request on. It's just a matter of, you know, if we can find it. And we do get a lot of them, but we do power through them. All right. First of all, I want to thank Adam Carolla and the crew. They're going to have us on the show on Tuesday morning, Adam Carolla's show. And you look for Adam in your town. You know, Adam is on the West Coast for the most part, Western, kind of a regional thing over at Free FM. And I know that we are on Free FM in San Diego and Phoenix and some other areas. So be listening for us on Adam Carolla's show on Free FM Tuesday morning. Nice man. He was part of our cast on the Phil Hendry animated pilot. He played, in fact, Adam played a deadbeat dad who made insurance money by throwing one of his kids out in traffic and then collecting the insurance, though. It's a very, very funny thing. And then I wanted to tell you about teachers Tuesday night. What were the ratings? You know that last Tuesday, a week ago Tuesday, for episode one, we held 94%, which was a very, very good number of Scrubs audience, Scrubs lead-in. This week, the hour, the Scrubs and the Teacher's Hour got just hammered by CBS and Fox. Now, that doesn't mean that we necessarily got, you know, I mean, the numbers for both Scrubs and Teachers sort of maintained. They dropped a little bit. What was that? Was that the Heist or something, man? What was the hour? Is that House? or heist or hoost? Scott Foley, who's a really nice guy, and good for you, Scott, because I worked with him on that AUSA show. We're better people than that show, Scott. I'm kidding. Anyway, he was married to Jennifer Garner. He finally got rid of her. Believe me, man, it's a good thing. And now he's got that show that, what is it called? The Unit.
What's that about, his thing?
Yeah, that's it, man. It's about Scott Foley's thing. It's called The Unit. I don't know what, it's a cop thing. Anyway, first of all, just to let you know, this past Tuesday night, the numbers were not as strong for the whole hour, but we did hold somewhere in the neighborhood of 86% of Scrubs' audience. Wasn't quite as good as the week before. The hour got pretty well blasted by what was on the competition, but I looked at the ratings relative to ABC. We kicked ABC's ass. But it's a comedy hour. NBC's offering up an hour of comedy, and the other networks had whatever they had. I don't know, the world's most famous quadriplegic, or, you know, when quads have sex, some reality thing. So basically what happened was we held about as much of Scrubs' audience as we did last week, 94% to 86%. But the whole hour just got trampled, man. And you want to know why? I'll tell you why. Maybe, I don't know. But maybe we, you know, maybe they're bucking a trend here, man. I mean, maybe people don't want to see comedy on Tuesday night. I don't know. I mean, I mentioned this to somebody that I know at NBC, and they said, no, NBC wants, they want comedy in there, man. Well, if they want comedy in there, they got our show, and they have Scrubs, and on Thursday night, they got My Name is Earl in The Office. Now, I looked at the ratings for The Office last year. This week, last year, which is where Teachers is now, it's where The Office was last year. And they had, their ranking was actually lower than ours. They had a higher rating. I think they had like a 4 and we had a 3.7 this week. But they were lower in terms of their ranking. They were like 10th and we're 9th or 8th. It's not a big difference, but the point is, we seem to be growing a similar sized audience that The Office eventually translated into something pretty good over there on Thursday night. Now, all of this is just me speculating. I have no idea how network television suits think. I'm giving you my radio read on it. If these numbers were being read by radio people, they would be read that way. They would, well, you know what? We're top 10 in the target demo, 18-49. It's a brand new show. It's holding its own. It's holding the audience of the show that comes on before it. And it's brand new. And, you know, we're publicizing it in-house. We're running a lot of promos. And there's a lot of heavy-hitting dramas that are up against it. The other thing that I probably shouldn't say this. I'll probably get people angry at me. And I don't mean you guys listening. I'll probably get people angry at me who are producing the show. And I say this with the greatest of respect for Matt and for Bill and everybody. Can we back off that laugh track just a little bit? Can we just back that down just a hair? All right? That's number one. Because a guy says, oh, geez, I didn't shave my chest today. You know, come on, man. You know, the other day, I picked my nose as well. Well, I better go get coffee. Oh, I got to take a dump. Actually, that would be a funny line. Just once a week, we ought to have a character say, looks like I got to pinch one off. Just back that down a hair. Now, you know, this is a traditional four-camera laugh track comedy. It is what it is, okay? So we shouldn't be embarrassed by it. That's what it is. And if people don't dig it, that's great. If they do dig it, fine. Some of you guys that write about television, I know you like that kind of artsy-fartsy Arrested Development stuff, and you know, guess what? It's going off the air. A lot of good you guys did. But we're trying to get, you know, we got to get in there, man, and get an audience build, okay? We got to build character. We got to get some laughs going. We got to, you know, big, bing, 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 bing. And that's what it is. But I'm just suggesting back down the laugh track, and I think we got this thing, I think we got it made, baby. Because like I said, even though the hour got trounced, we held Scrubs' audience fairly well. We're going to be on tonight. In fact, in 1 minute. Tune over right now. Forget about the last half hour of my show. Go. NBC, right now, go.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I don't know. Whatever happens, happens. You can't control it. You know the old saying, man, control what you can and don't control what you can't. Isn't that what it is? Ain't that the alcoholic prayer? Please give me the courage to try to control stuff I can't and the wisdom to not control anything that I can. Thank you. Next week, teachers will be on Tuesday night, as usual, at 9:30, and we're going up against, on ABC, a mini-series. What's it called? The Ten Commandments. Thank you. In other words, let me just say this. I don't know what they think we're supposed to be doing in there at 9:30 at night with the Ten Commandments, and I'm sure they're going to say, oh, well, look at what The Office did. With the greatest of respect to Greg Daniels, who's a nice man, and I worked for him on King of the Hill, I don't mean anything by this dude, but it ain't anywhere near as funny as the British original. It doesn't even come close. I don't care what anybody says, how you think it's great. And I talked to a couple of guys when we were over doing that show. These two guys were over from England. And I go, how about that Office? Blows, doesn't it? Oh, it's actually, we really like it. Yeah, bull crap. You guys got to say that because you're over here at, like, meetings and you got to, you know, suck rear ends. It ain't. And that's all there is to it. Is our show, is teachers funny? It is what, the show is what it is, man. In other words, it's a freaking, like, if you want to do that improv thing, the single camera kind of video verite deal, going around the office thing, try and make it, you know, as funny as the original. Now, the one that we're doing, it's a freaking four camera with a audience going laughing and blah, 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 and a bunch of goofy stuff. It's about as funny, in other words, as The Office. Okay, so, you know, what do you want from me? So we're in there, and we'll try to do the very best we can. I don't know. You know, what happens is they take it in the back room, they edit it, they cut it, they put it here, they put it there. You don't know what the hell they're doing with it after you did it. Take out that scene, put in this one, let's reshoot that, do that. Yeah, boom, dee, bah, bah, bah. If there's one problem with television, I'm going to tell you what it is. You remember when your mother used to say, too many cooks spoil the broth? You remember that? Remember back when we were kids, they used to say there's too many chiefs and not enough Indians? Remember all those old sayings? That's it. That's TV in a nutshell. If you think I'm kidding, that's it in a nutshell. Too many freaking chiefs and there ain't one Indian running around there, man. Not even a squaw under a buck. You can't, you know, it's like, well, let's talk about this for a while. Do you really think that joke is a thing? How long do you want to think about it, man? Just put it on there. We had a conversation once on the set. Seriously, what's a good euphemism for? There was a word in the script that they didn't want to use. They wanted to use a euphemism, and the word was masturbation. So I said, "Well, how about this? How about that?" I was suggesting things, right? And I heard somebody say the thing you should never ever say when you do this kind of work. You never ever 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 say this. You never ask, "Will they let us use that word?" Because that tells me one thing. You're editing yourself already. You're worried about what they, meaning the network, is going to approve. Just do it and let them tell you, no, you can't. Just do it and let them tell you, no. You know, this is like the old saying that I go by, ask for forgiveness, not permission. You know that one. That's my favorite, man. Ask for freaking forgiveness, not permission. You ask for permission, you're scared of your own shadow. Just put the damn thing up there, man. If it flies, it flies. If it doesn't, it doesn't. How do you think Saturday Night Live got to be such a big show? Because nobody gave a... Nobody was sticking their nose in on it. That's why. Because they threw that thing up at 11:30 at night, and nobody was bugging them. They got to do anything they wanted to, and then it became a big hit, and I'm sure they had 9 million suits crawling all over the place trying to take credit for it then. I don't think you could start any, especially a show like ours, a 30-minute little comedy that's trying to kind of, you know, put its roots down. I don't think you can start off by, running your hands together, worried about what they're going to think upstairs. Just freaking do it, man. Did I teach you that, Wayne, back in 95? Ask for forgiveness, not permission. And then we got fired, didn't we? Oh, no, we kept on working. Wayne's with me here. He and I were together in Miami. We know we fought the wars down there. So you just have to throw the thing up there, and if it works, it does. If it doesn't, it doesn't. How the hell do you think that we come up with a guy like Herb Sewell, who is a child molester that's a comedy character? Who would ever, in their wildest dreams, ever think of doing something like that? What show on radio or television has a child molester who's a comic character that people like? Only this one. Why? Because we just did it one day. And if it worked, it worked. If it didn't, it didn't. Apparently, it worked. Why did it work? Well, because he's a repentant one. He's been to prison. We've put him through all kinds of torture, electroshock, insulin shock, you know. He's living in a halfway house. He's trying to make it work. But he's kind of got one foot in it, and he's, you know, we beat him up. So that's how, that's why it works. You can do anything if you take a character like that, and you just make sure that the audience knows that you are kicking his ass every time he's on. George Carlin has said it better than anybody. When Carlin said, oh, you don't think rape's funny? Well, try this. Imagine Porky Pig raping Elmer Fudd. He's right. But you can't do it unless you try it. And if you cannot try it, if you're afraid to try it, and you're worried about what the network's going to let you do, I'd rather go outside that soundstage there at Sony, throw a noose over the nearest low-hanging branch, and do what I was thinking about doing a year ago when I came out of that table read. Just put my neck through it and do a Judas Iscariot. Just with a rotting mule carcass nearby. Just all right, I'm done. All right, 1-800-449-8686. And in a moment, we got some email to read here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
By the way, I saw a picture of Selma Hayek, and I said, boy, she's beautiful. I said, wait a minute, we got a woman on our show who's hotter than Selma Hayek. Hotter than her, man, and I mean like 5 lifetimes hotter than her. Sarah Shahi, thank you. A dance with me. I'm just an old man. Drink too much. Nah, he's a good guy. I understand that Dean was faithful to his wife. Good for you, Dean. I'm sure that's great. Now, did you see the flick, the Rat Pack flick, where apparently he was the only guy sitting there drinking milk, talking to his wife on a phone, and there's President Kennedy in bed with starlet number 10? I don't know why I'm thinking that. All right, it's time now for a little bit of our email. Hey, Phil, copy 3 CDs to take back overseas to use as psycho warfare and play your show to the Iraqis. Should drive them nuts. Kevin. He doesn't tell me what unit he's in, doesn't tell me what branch of the service he's in, but I will trust, Kevin, that you have something to do with the military. Here is one from Brian. Phil, I was a West Pointer. One of my brothers was a West Pointer, and my other brother is a Citadel grad, much tougher than the Point. But my son Daniel wouldn't have graduated last May from USMA without you. USMA, United States Military Academy?
Yeah, United States Marine Academy.
No, Military Academy.
No, Marine. Oh, my God, you never heard of USMC?
Yeah, I've heard of USMC. Is that what I said?
What'd you say?
I said USMA.
USA.
USMA, United States Military Academy. USA, United States of America. USMC, United States Marine
Company.
Corps, you jackball. Yeah, United States Marine Company.
Well, what's NBC? National Broadcasting Corps?
Oh. Anyway, he says, I wouldn't have graduated without you. I've been a backstage pass holder for years, and Lieutenant Dan has been a backstage pass holder for the past 5 years, 4 of which were at the Point. JC had a lot to do with his getting through plebe year, but it was Lloyd that... Oh, you mean RC had a lot to do with him getting through plebe year, but it was Lloyd that did the heavy lifting when things got tough. Actually, Lloyd is so popular in my family that he's become a hands-down favorite of my 80-year-old father, who is a combat veteran of World War II and 3 years in Korea as a tank platoon officer with the 2nd Division. Jesus! Dan has listened to my dad for years and felt like he was in the barracks with him every time Lloyd visited the show with you. We finally turned my dad on to Lloyd and the good Father McQuarters last year when Dan was home on leave. Now, Phil, if you can imagine an 80-year-old Catholic Irishman laughing his Irish ass completely off, you've seen it all. This was the greatest gift any radio personality has ever delivered to him. He survived the best that Japan could throw at him in World War II and the battles of Bloody Ridge and the Heartbreak Ridge in Korea. But he never laughed as loud as when he laughed at your show. Then blood began coming from his nose and his ears, and he died right there. I'm kidding, but I had to break it up with... Now, anyway, he says, he never laughed about Korea in particular, but now we hear the greatest and funniest stories out of him. We actually have tears in our eyes. Well, this is one old soldier that has rambled enough for you for one sitting. I'm going to the archives to listen to last night's show. I just thought it was time to get off my ass and write you myself. I want to let you know that your gift to all of us, current and past military, means a whole lot, in particular to one family with one old man that can now laugh about something that was so terrible so many years ago. He spent 1 year recovering from his physical wounds after the Korean War, but is now healing from unspoken wounds he's nursed in his mind for the past 53. Lloyd has been a huge help, so please thank him for us. God bless, and beat Navy, Brian. That's very nice. Next letter.
Beat what?
Hey, Phil, thank you for doing a great show that never fails to make me laugh my ass off, and since I'm a big tub of guts, mine is a rather Brobdingnagian example, whatever. Knowing you are a pro football fan, you should get to a game in Cleveland, preferably before the weather gets bad. Seeing a game in brutally cold weather is quite overrated. Don't let anyone tell you differently, unless it is an Ohio State-Michigan game. Thanks again for all your great work on the radio and TV. I'll be listening. Chris Welch, Columbus, Ohio. Thanks, man. Hey, I want to go see a snub. We're going to go to Green Bay, dude, on December the 3rd. We're going to go see the Jets and the Packers. And, yeah, all of us, man. And you're coming, Wayne. Well, it's going to be you, me, Mark, and Ashwood from Fox. We're going to, and his family's got a cabin. So what we're going to do is, Andrew doesn't know this yet because I haven't told him, we're all staying at his house, drinking his beer and eating his food. And then he's going to drive us to the stadium. And I'll try to score some tickets. I'm pretty sure Jags can come through for us, but the Jets and the Pack, you sure you want to go to that game, Mark? It could be ugly, man. It could be ugly. Who's quarterbacking those boys? We don't know. I got my boy Jags is going to be the coordinator, man. You don't think I'm going to be freaking rooting for Jet football that day, are you? Yeah, we're going to Andy Ashwood's house. We're going to be eating his food, drinking his beer, smoking his pot, and snorting his coke. I'm kidding, man. You know I'm kidding. You know I love you. Dear Phil, every night on the station I listen to, there is a bit of dialogue played when the show goes to commercial. I think it's Brad Rifkin. He says, okay, so now I'm a fag and I'm going to have my skull sexed. Anything else, gentlemen? It's the funniest line I've ever heard. It also sounds like you're starting to crack up as you say it, and despite how it may piss you off as a professional, it's always extra funny to your listener when you lose it on the air. Do you have that, Mark? It's actually Dr. Jim Sadler. Oh, it's Jay Santos. Let's play that.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Now I'm a fag, and I'm going to have my skull sexed. Anything else, gentlemen?
Yes, that's right. I am starting to crack up because Mark and I cut those lines before we start the show, and I remember distinctly what made me laugh was the line, anything else, gentlemen? Actually, Phil, you're the funniest person on any sort of airwave since, like, Jack Benny or Fred Allen. Oh, God. Thanks, Otto Klemperer. Who's Otto Klemperer? Is that a joke? I don't get it anymore, man. Hey, Phil, I couldn't believe how freaking funny the second episode was. If only my union rep could have been half as effective as Dick was on the... Hey, did you guys see the show Tuesday night? I play a union rep for the two guys, you know, for Jeff Cahill and Calvin Babbitt. So I come in with a big freaking Quiznos sub. And I go, boys, I heard you got some trouble down at the union hall. And the guy's like, are you our union rep? Yeah, I would have been here sooner, but I was waiting for him to refill the pepper bar at Quiznos, right? So in the classroom, while Jeff Cahill is talking to the teacher about how he's sorry he screwed up, I didn't know that they were going to use the shot, but they use a wide shot, and there I am sniffing the bag of peppers. Thank you! I'm out of here. 1-800, I'm not out of here yet, but we'll take a break. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
This is a good letter here. Steve from Minneapolis writes, Phil, a while back, last year, I think, you had a real in-studio guest. It was a real guy who did a flawless Alan Alda impression. Who was that? That was a guy, an actor named Peter Serafinowicz. And Peter's a British actor. And he does not only a dead-on Alan Alda. And let me ask you this. Who do you know that does an Alan Alda impression, number one? His Alan Alda impression, it's godlike, man. In other words, nobody will ever beat it. He also does the funniest freaking Al Pacino impression I've ever heard in my life. And he did a little film, him and his girlfriend, Sarah Alexander, who's on our show, Teachers. And Sarah's standing next to him. Well, he did it standing on his knees. So in other words, there's Pacino with his girlfriend. And he's, you know, that whole Tim Conway thing with the shoes, you know. But this freaking Al Pacino thing he does, I win, she wins. You know, I can't even do it. Perfect Then he does a Paul McCartney impression. And I'm thinking, what's the market for guys that do impressions now? You know what I mean? But the Alan Alda, oh my God. So anyway, he was out auditioning for some show. Guess what he did? He did Alan Alda auditioning to be Princess Leia in Star Wars. I think I got to go home. I got to go home. See you tomorrow night. Don't forget, teachers, Tuesday night, 9:30 on NBC. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.